see. My goodness. Am I on? I can't even hear myself. Am I on? All right, good. Praise the Lord. My goodness. You know, I don't mind telling you this, but I was looking out. Turn me up just a little bit more if you don't mind. Make sure this thing's all the way up. And just best you can. Boy, you know, it's incredible, is it not? How that we can come out from the world and come into the house of God and just enjoy. Now, I want you to think about what's happening here. You're sitting since 7 o'clock. Since 7 o'clock. And you listen to a man get up and speak words since 7 o'clock. We listen to people get up and sing and play the piano since 7 o'clock. And we still are enjoying ourselves. How does that happen? Except the Holy Ghost of God living on the inside. What a wonderful Savior that we serve. Man, where would we be? Where would we be? And you know why we get it? Because we're all part of the same family. That's why we get it. There are certain family jokes and inside jokes that everybody gets. And when you say a couple of words, everybody just starts laughing. And all the outsiders just to sort of look at you and go, all right, what's going on? You know, we have different pronouns. We have different titles. We have different. For Jesus Christ, all you got to say is Him. We know who you're talking about. Here comes the Son. We know who you're talking about. Isn't that incredible? You do not have to define Christianity to Christians because we've got Christ living on the inside. It's already defined. And so, man, I kind of hate to see it end. Job chapter 1. And I kind of hate to see it end with me. Amen. If I'm the last car across the finish line, we're in trouble. And Job chapter 1. And I have enjoyed here. I've waited till the last time that I would speak to say thank you, Brother Bell, for everything, and thank you for your friendship. And 25 years definitely is a goal that I want to get to. And I will be 66 years of age. How old are you? 62. I'll be 66 years of age on my 25th anniversary as pastor. And I was thinking to myself, I asked Brother Cox and Brother Bell, I said, now let me get this straight today. The longer you pastor, the more people stay. Right? And nobody ever leaves you. And honestly, when you said, when Brother, I think it was Brother Cox said, who has been here originally for the 25 years? And I think the only two was Miss Bell and Carla for the 25 years. Yeah, I tell you something, through the years, I know people come and go, but you know, there's a blessing to staying in one church for a long time. There just is. I've been a member of our church for 35 years, and I have just enjoyed being a member of the same church. And let me encourage you something. Stay. Amen. Stay. Amen. Like Brother Cox said, don't let anything get you out of it. You just stay. Amen. And I have a fond affection for Anchor Baptist Church. I cannot tell you how deep the emotions go for me whenever I think of Anchor Baptist Church. And Brother Bell's right. We don't talk as often as maybe we should, but both of us are very busy. But when we do, it is just like we picked up right where we left off. In fact, my dad told me when I started traveling and speaking years ago, he said, if you don't want to look like an idiot, write down every sermon you preach and where you preach it at. That way you don't waste the people's time when you go back and you preach a sermon that somebody else heard, you know, and you're like, okay, we've already heard that one. I've tried that, and I hope I haven't violated it. And I have sermons on my card from this year that I've written down that I preached so far here, and sermons I wished I would have preached while I was here. And I mean, that card's full, amen? I'm sitting there going, good night, I should have preached that, and I should have preached that. But I will tell you, this will be my 50th time speaking behind this pulpit. Well, not this pulpit. This is my seventh time speaking behind this pulpit. Thank you very much. And but this is my 50th time speaking here at the Inc. I cannot believe that. And I looked at all the sermons this morning in my hotel room, and I only repeated one. And so I did. There was one year that I preached it, and then the very next year I preached it again. And you know what's really good about that? Nobody ever complained because nobody was awake the first time I preached it. No, it really doesn't matter, you know. So, but God's good, is he not?
Amen.
Oh, the Lord's good. How many have been a member of a Baptist church all your life? Would you raise your hand? You've been a member of a Baptist church all your life. Wow. How many have been a member of the church you attend for more than 10 years? You've been a church, member of the church you attend right now for more than 10 years. Oh, that is great, isn't it? You know, I'll tell you that. Nothing like it. Nothing like it at all. You know where the dead bodies are. Why move? You know where they're all buried at. Amen. And you know all the skeletons, and you know what door will slam in your face and what door actually works, and you know what water fountain shoots up 15 feet and which one just kind of, don't kid yourself, Baptist churches are haunted, amen. So Job chapter 1, if you don't mind, the book of Job, and I could go on and on. That from the governor was beautiful. That's a class act. Did you get that? I thought you were taking credit for him. Who got it? Your class got that? Okay. Rick Perry. Okay. I know they've been at the church 5 years. Rick Perry, you'll contact our governor. And if we can borrow some of your National Guard, we can take care of the border process. And so anyways, let me tell you something. You better come to Texas because it's going to get bad in the rest of the country. And we're the only one that's going to secede from the union. And Job chapter 1. You think I'm kidding? We're not building that fence in Mexico. We're building it along Louisiana, Oklahoma, we're building it around, and no taxes, no school, and so you want to come. So Job chapter 1. I want to be a blessing tonight, and I want to be able to have you love God more. If we come and we do not love God more, then we have wasted our time. You know, you didn't come really to hear the speakers. You came to see what God was going to do in your heart. I tell you what I love about coming here. There is no pretense. There is no politics. You don't have to make sure you say or do the right thing. The only reason that Brother Bell would throw me out of this pulpit is if I didn't lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and I didn't preach from the good old King James Bible. And I've seen people get confused through the years. They look at you weird. You can always tell people not using the King James because they'll look down when they read them. And then they'll look next to them and, you know, then you're like, okay. I got one spotted, so anyways. But what makes it really worse is when it's a preacher. You know, so anyways, but Job chapter 1. Hey, did I show you this? Look at this. I know you can't see it. But you know what was in that box they just gave me? You got that, Nikki? Get real close. You know what that is? That's a Starbucks cup cufflink right there. See that right there? A Starbucks cup, and I'm going to put a little bit of espresso. I don't care if they support the queers. Everybody supports the queers. And really, this is so perverse. And this, somebody's got to be a light among the heathen, and that's me. Amen. And and every cup I drink, it does not affect me one bit. And so Jones. I better stop. Job chapter 1. No, chapter 1. Yeah, I was preaching. Sorry, Miss Cox. I was preaching where was I preaching? I was preaching in Alabama, and back in the late 90s, like 98, 99, I was having severe back problems. And so my doctor said, look, Brother Gray, you're going to get out of town and everything's going to freeze up on you and you're literally going to be in trouble. Let me give you some muscle relaxers that you can take with you and keep them on standby because if something happens, you better pop about three of them things and you'll be okay. Well, I went to the pulpit to preach and I had Tic Tacs in this pocket and I had muscle relaxers in this pocket. And this is no joke. I forgot which was which. And I popped that first Tic Tac and I'm thinking, man, that's the worst Tic Tac I have ever tasted in my life. And do you know how when your breath's bad, you got to reach up and then you smell it in your hands. And that's the worst Tic Tac I have ever tasted in my life. And then all of a sudden it was like, that's the best Tic Tac I've ever tasted in my life. So I reach back into that pocket and I'm thinking, man, that Tic Tac is giving me a warm sensation going all over my... I popped four of them things before I preached. I was on the platform and I popped four of them things and I'm like, man, I'm feeling good. Let me tell you, I do not remember a thing I preached that night. It was so bad that the preacher, I just kept going and going and babbling and babbling. And finally the preacher had to step up and go, okay, Brother Gray, we're time to shut it down. He's like, whatever you want, preacher, that's fine with me. And I went back and wow. So that's why I'm sitting here going, man, I got to get them Vicodin out of my pocket. And so anyways, Job 1:9. I don't know where that had to do with anything. Job chapter 1 in verse number 9. And Job 1, 9. Let's read it together out loud if we could. In fact, let's all stand. And boy, it's hard to believe the last service of Faith Harbor. And hopefully you will leave this harbor revived. Boy, just revived. And I would, not because it's the speakers, and I would get the collection of the CDs, and I would, for the next couple of weeks, I would find the sermon that spoke to your heart, and I would, you live in a great day and age to where you can relive, on CD what God has done in your heart. And you say, well, God didn't do anything in my heart. Then listen to the whole conference all over again. Amen. Just listen to it all over again. Say, God, what did I miss? How come you didn't speak to my heart? It's not that he's not speaking. I think a lot of times we're not listening like we should. So Job chapter 1, verse 9. Let's read it together out loud. Are you ready? Begin. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Oh, there you go. I'm going to preach on this subject. A good question from Satan. A good question from Satan. Boy, it's that now, of all the things, he's not a good Satan, okay? Satan's not good, but this was a good question because it's a very valid question in our day and time. Look what he said there. Doth Job fear God for naught? And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you in your planning, Lord, knew that I would be speaking at this time. It was not on my agenda coming into tonight. And Lord, thank you for Brother Cox. Thank you for his love for you. Thank you for helping us, helping him to help us love you more. Dear Heavenly Father, when we truly think about retreat, Lord, there truly can be no retreat. Lord, we can't back up. People are watching. People are depending. Their souls, Lord, everything that he said tonight. Help me to add to what the man of God has brought us in the first hour. And God, help me. Be with me now, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Y'all can hear me okay? Everybody, okay, good enough. Good enough. The book of Job is an amazing book. It's named after an amazing man. Job is described in verse number 8, if you'll look at it, and keep your Bibles handy because we're going to be looking at several verses here. Look at Job chapter 1 and verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Now, when somebody says, what kind of Christian was Job in the sight of God? When God looked at Job's life, here's how God viewed Job. He said this, he's perfect. What that means is that he had a physical completeness. What it means is he had a moral integrity. When God looked at Job, God truly said about Job, here stands a man in the earth. And by the way, that's incredible. That's an incredible feat when you can have moral completeness in this earth. Yeah, right. It can still be done. Right. I do not believe people have to give in on their morals. Amen. But when God gave a description of Job, he said, truly, Satan, let me tell you about Job. Job is a perfect man. Then the second thing he says about Job there in that verse, he said, he's an upright man. Now, the word upright there is a very interesting word in the Hebrew, and that phrase, you know what it literally means? His first reaction was to do right. It wasn't his second reaction. It wasn't his third reaction. When he was faced with a right and wrong situation, it was his knee-jerk reaction to do what was right. God said about Job to Satan, "Satan, hath you considered my servant Job?" Let me tell you about Job. He's a perfect man, morally complete. Let me tell you something about Job. He's an upright man. His first reaction is to do right. Then let me tell you something about Job, Satan. He's one that feareth God. There is literally a reverence for God, not a fear about God, not a fear to come to God, but a fear in reverence to God. Let me stop and just say this. I don't think we have the fear of God like we should have in our lives. I think we look to the right in life. I think we look to the left in life. I think we see who the important people are looking, but we fail to look up in life and understand that God is always looking. The fear. So he said about Job, here's a perfect man. Here's an upright man. Here's one that feareth God. And then here's one that escheweth evil. There in verse number 8, he said to Satan, when you look at Job, you're looking at someone who escheweth evil. Literally what that means is, if he knows evil is in this corner of the building, that bald-headed guy right back there, if he knew evil, by the way, it's amazing that this side is the bald-headed side of the auditorium. Brother, it's shinier on this side than it is on this side. Well, there's a bald one right there. Okay, it's lighter on this side than it is on this side. How'd you like that? Amen. God kind of turned y'all's bald shinies down. Amen. He kept yours bright and glowing. There is the sun, and then there is the moon. And so, but when God said, "Escheweth," you know what he said? He said, if evil was in this side of the corner of the building, and Job knew evil was there, and he had to get to the outside, but he knew it was right here in the auditorium. The Bible, what it means, "Escheweth," is that he'd go out the back of the auditorium. He'd go all the way around if he knew evil was right there. He didn't take on evil. He eschewed evil. He went away from evil. He drove around evil. By the way, can I stop and tell you something, guys? If your trip to the office takes you past places that tempt you, then go all the way around. Oh, it'd be better for you to leave 20 minutes early and eschew evil than it is to drive through evil to think you're going to make it. There's a reason why God chose Job as the poster child to show Satan, hey, let me tell you something about this guy. This guy is a morally complete man. This man, his first reaction is to do right. This man fears me. There's a reverence for me. And this man escheweth evil. Very interesting. It's just a sort of a side note here. Satan did not find Job. Right. Satan searched the entire earth and never found good. Satan searched the entire earth and never found moral uprightness. Satan searched the entire earth and never found somebody whose first reaction was to do good. I got it figured out this way. And I wrote in the middle of my study Bible, Brother Cox and Brother Walker, this one thing. When people can't find any good inside the house of God, then they're walking after the wrong master. Amen. When you can't spot good in God's house, well, you got them all the time. They say, well, you know, I didn't find anything good today in God's house. Are you serious? We opened the Bible. We sang songs. But that's just a side note. That's another sermon. So God picked Job as an example of what kind of Christian Job was. Well, we know then from God's perspective, and don't leave me because I'm headed up to the sermon, then we're getting out of here. God, from the perspective, we know what God viewed Job as. And this is the kind of servant Job was. What kind of God was God? In this story, what kind of God was God? Well, I want you to look at verse number 10. Verse number 10, he said this, hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. We know what kind of person Job was. What kind of God was God? I'll tell you what kind he was. He was the kind that he put a hedge around Job. Right. Nobody could get to Job. Nobody could get to Job's family. Nobody could get to Job's car. Nobody could get to Job's house. Nobody could get to Job's cat. I wish I could get to somebody's cat, but nobody could get to his dog. Nobody. By the way, if you're a cat lover, you're going straight. Never mind. And How many cat lovers in this auditorium? Brian Leaf, I would think you would be more of a man than to have a cat. Brian Leaf, I would no more let that woman run my house. He got the cat. I would no more let you in my house. Boo. That's the cat's name. Boo. And what kind of God was God? God was the kind of God that he put a hedge about him personally. God was the kind of God that he put a hedge about him corporately. God was the kind of God that he put a hedge about him to protect everything that he had. Look at verse number 2. Look at it. Job 1:2. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. What kind of God? God was the kind of God that he blessed him with children. Amen. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Amen. They're not a nuisance. They're a heritage. Amen. Come on. They're a heritage and a tax deduction, bless God. That's why you should have more children. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Think about this. What kind of God was God? God was the kind of God that he blessed him with protection. God was the kind of God that he blessed him with children. And then look at verse number 3, if you don't mind. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now here's the sermon. Here you have Job. We know what kind of man Job was. He was one that was perfect. He was one that was upright. He was one that feared God. He was one that escheweth evil. And we know what kind of God God was. God was the kind that he protected this man. He gave to this man. He gave wonderful things to this man. He was the greatest man in all the East because of a God that... Boy, this world's watching you. This world knows where this church is. This world knows who goes to this church. This world knows who's saved. And isn't it a shame that we have a bad outlook to where we stop serving God the first time something bad happens? Then co-workers know you got to cut and pay, and those neighbors know you have no electricity, and your family knows that you got junk going on, but yet you still keep going forward. That's the best tribute you can give to the God. Good question from Satan. Kudos, devil. But it's a wrong premise for the question. Yes, sir. Because your motivation behind the question was a provoking to God that simply said, hey, would Job serve you if you gave him nothing? Amen. And what Satan didn't realize was that relationship goes much deeper. Yeah. But I would like to answer Satan's question. Mm-hmm. Hey, is it a mutual admiration society? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Guilty as charged. We love him because he first loved us. God can't help it that he loves. God can't help it. Gather up all that down there. God, guys, gather it up. Come on, guys, help me out. You can touch it, but you can't keep it, all right? And gather it all up. Come on, come on, come on. Gather it all up. Bring it up here. Can't bring it up. Hurry, 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 hurry. Doesn't have to be straight. Just put it right up here. Put it right up here. Hurry, hurry. Come up here and stand. Stand next to me. Can I tell you something? God can't help it. Come here, come here. Come on, put it right up here, guys. And you guys sit down. Come up here and stand. There you go. There you go. This is not my money. I have to take it back to the First National Bank. And that's where we were this afternoon. And can I tell you something? God can't help it that he just loves us so much that he kind of spots us a 20. God can't help it if he's like, hey, hey, I love you. I want to give it to you. I love you so much. I just want to make sure you have enough to get you through. Hey, even when you and I are terrible children, God comes down and goes, you may need that a couple of years from right now. Oh, let's get honest tonight. We're just the children of the family. How many of us siblings have been acting like the devil, acting stupid and acting dumb, and God came through with a blessing? Would you raise your hand? It happened to me this afternoon. This afternoon, I got a little bit hot on the phone dealing with something. I'm thinking, oh, my soul. You know that sermon I preached last night? Isn't it crazy you always violate it right after you preach it? I had a choice to follow the things of the Spirit and to follow the things of the flesh. And I thought to myself, I'm going to enjoy this before the Holy Spirit shows up. I got behind this flesh and I was hammering away, brother. I was on that phone. It was so hot, the battery went from 100% down to 10, just like that. And the Holy Spirit said, you shouldn't act that way. You need to call that guy back. I ain't calling him back. Seriously. I stiff-armed the Holy Ghost of God. I ain't calling him back at all. Then my wife calls and says, you're never going to guess what we got in the mail today. And I was like, probably a bill because the Holy Ghost is fighting against me. You know what she said? Oh, no. It's something you're going to like when you get home. You know what? God can't help it because he loves.
Right.
Man. You don't serve a mean master today. Amen. You serve a God that's like a little traveling money right there. Yeah. You can act like a jerk and God goes, that's in case you get put in jail. See, the world and Satan, they look at it and go, my father never treats me that way.
Right.
That's because ye are of your father, the devil.
Yeah. Right.
He's a murderer and a liar. He's come to kill and destroy. And he comes to strip you of everything. But if you're saved here tonight, can I tell you something? You've got a heavenly father that's like, oh, he didn't mean it. He loves.
Amen.
See, Satan had it all wrong.
Right.
We don't love because of the things.
Right. Yeah.
We love because we've been loved.
Amen. Amen.
And things are just an expression of
Amen.
That love.
Right. Amen. Amen.
But a lack of things does not make me doubt his love.
Amen.
Yeah.
It makes me go, hey, he's just loving on somebody else right now. But he sure does love me.
Amen. Amen.
Can I ask you a question? Is this why you're serving the Lord? Is it truly? You teenagers right now, when I hold up that kind of money, you can tell mature people and immature people. Immature people go, oh, that would solve my problems. Mature people go, you better get about 10,000 times more of that to solve my problems. People have a lot of problems. You can keep that. That doesn't mean nothing to me. You better multiply that by 1,000, bless God. But is this truly, can I ask you a question? Is this truly where you're at? If God took this all away, would you still be in church? I think a commitment needs to be made tonight that our love for the Lord goes much deeper than the things. Because if the things are gone, can I tell you something? We look at it as, oh, it's just a terrible day. Did you hear what I lost? What are you doing? Give that back to me. And we go, oh, you know, it's been a terrible day because I lost it all. Let me tell you something. Satan truly thinks that this condition will make you stop on God. I'm going to tell you right now, there needs to be a commitment. There just needs to be a commitment. Thank you very much. Did we get it all back? Look, I don't mind preaching. Okay, go sit down. Hey, if you do this and something fall out your pant legs, you make sure I get it back. I don't think I've ever experienced real tragedy. I just haven't. I think I look at everything in my life and I think, I honestly, I don't think I've experienced true tragedy. I meet people who do. They lose a mate, they lose a son, they lose a daughter, they lose a house, they lose it all. I was preaching in Gulfport, Mississippi last month, and they were taking me around where Katrina hit, and they were showing me pictures of people who just lost everything. And the preacher told me the next Sunday morning after they lost everything was the biggest crowd they've ever had in church. They didn't have a building to meet in. They just met in a park. But they said it was the biggest crowd. You and I need to have a resolve tonight that though he slay me, yet will I serve him.
Amen.
Not going to curse him. My God is good to me. And let's prove Satan wrong.
Amen.
Let's prove him wrong.
Amen.
You keep going. What are you giving up on in life? What have you looked at that you have said, well, you know, I deserve, we don't deserve anything but hell.
Amen.
That's it. The fact that we're saved and breathing means that God has big things for us.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you had no car, does church mean that much to you that you'd walk?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, would you get your little kids up? Come here, Aiden. Come here. Delaney, come here. Karen, come here. I mean, would you still get everybody dressed up and sharp looking? And there you go. Come here. Sharp looking and get them all ready. If you live 10 miles from the church, we say, all right, kids, you ready for church? Everybody ready? Okay. All right. You ready? Okay. Follow Dad. And you took off and started walking at 7 in the morning. You say, where's Carla? She's still in bed. She just wants the DVD from the service. She ain't going. Would you go? Or would you say, well, you know, we're only going to be there an hour. It really isn't a reason to go. We're only there an hour, and it'd take us 2 hours to walk. We are so spoiled.
Come on.
Yeah. We are spoiled.
Right.
Thank you, kids. I'm going to end with this. My relationship with my Lord goes much deeper than anything that I have.
Right.
I thought to myself, God, if you took Kelly, would I serve you? God, if I went back home and then found out that RG had passed, would I still serve you? If I found out my grandson or my daughter or my son-in-law, my son, would I still serve you? If the deacons showed up and they padlocked my office and they said, we no longer want you to be our pastor, would I still serve them? If I have no car, would I still serve them? If I have no job, would I still serve them? And my answer to you is I made a commitment that I'm going to serve him.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to serve him.
Amen.
But I can't help it if I have a God who loves me.
Amen.
And what you're going to find out is that when you say, hey, I love the Lord regardless, that God's going to be like, well, just let me give a little love to you. But you know what? Whether he gives you the love, doesn't give you the love, it doesn't matter. You still love him.
Right.
Where's your commitment at tonight? Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every eye closed. Are some of you just simply love God because of what he does for you? I mean, truly, if he took away your beauty, ladies, would you still love him? Truly, gentlemen, if he took away and stripped you of everything, would you still love him? If he took away a wife, a husband, would you still love him? Is Satan right tonight? Is the only reason that you serve him is because of what you can get out of him? Or do you serve him because you truly love him? I think there needs to be a commitment tonight on our part to love the Lord regardless of what we get. And let's prove Satan wrong. As the musicians play, I want you to find your place at an old-fashioned altar. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, it's the only way to live the Christian life. It's the only